This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All right.
Your podcast tag team champions of the world,
Boomer
and Blaze.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Boomer and Blaze Show. I am Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
And we have so much to talk about this week, including here in a few minutes something Blaze brought up last week, and that's favorite Thanksgiving movie. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're also going to talk about the week in wrestling. First, I want to remind you this week's episode is brought to you by the Marty Jannetty School of Jobbers. If you would like to spend your career fucking it up, the Marty Jannetty School of Jobbers is for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hey, that's two unofficial sponsors.
Hell yeah.
Maybe we'll get official ones someday. Hush Money and the School of Jobbers. I'm ready to roll. Listen, we got a small milestone today for our incarnation of this episode. This is the 10th episode of the Boomer and Blaze Show today.
Is it?
10th episode. Not counting.
Yeah, we've done 10 already?
If you don't count the international podcast, I didn't count that.
Oh, okay.
But I did count the listener request.
Well, yeah, we did a whole episode.
Yes, 10 episodes today. Did you think we'd make it that far?
I was hoping.
hoping a little farther. You actually brought up that we've come full circle because the last episode of the Raging Blaze Show was Survivor Series 94.
That's right.
And today we are at Survivor Series 95. By the way, I don't know how many of you were listeners then. I'm sure we have new listeners and we have people that listen to, you know, Raging Blaze. But if you didn't listen from the beginning, you got to go back. And that last episode, dude, Chuck Norris was at the Survivor Series. It's one of the funniest episodes ever of Raging Blaze because this motherfucker just kept bringing up Chuck Norris.
It was a fun one. I went online and I looked for every Chuck Norris joke I could find that I thought was funny.
Oh, it was just, man.
I think I was purposely annoying my brother by just coming up with Chuck Norris jokes.
It was good shit. Because like, you could tell, too, like, Blaze, you could tell when you were getting on Blaze's or Rage's nerves. Like, you could hear it in his voice. The famous move along line. Let's move along. That was a good one, though. I'm telling you, go back, listen to it. You know, it's a great show. It's a great show. It always was. It's just a little different now, that's all.
Listen
to all of it. Well, yeah,
as we're on the Boomer and Blaze Wrestling YouTube page. I've got the WrestleMania 1, 2, and I am working on WrestleMania 3 on there. It's uploading as we speak.
There you go. Blaze is a hardworking man. And I'm not joking saying that, folks. Like, I do handle the social medias and stuff, but, you know, he's the one starting this YouTube channel, and he's doing it for all his podcasts, because we have our multiverse, which we also recommend you check out.
Absolutely. You should check out some of our absolutely. Shows. And I do a lot, especially with this show. I do a lot of work, especially with the YouTube, because I'm trying to cut out fat.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, there's a lot of, now with ours, we do the whole episode, we talk about it all in one shot.
Yes.
With Rage and Blaze, we were doing a lot of part one, part two episodes, and we also talked a lot in front. So I've been going through and I've been putting them together. I've been cutting out some of the extra stuff that I feel like current wrestling stuff. I don't think we needed to keep. I needed to keep those old ones, but I tried to cut them down to where they're, you know, closer to where we are on length, which we do about a 2-hour podcast. So I've been trying to cut those old Rage and Blaze episodes to about 2 hours or less. And I've done it for 3 episodes so far.
Hard working man, I'm telling you.
I'm a hard working man.
Hey, look, and I'm a little impressed with myself. I'm doing better with the social medias. You know,
hey, you got a
look. I had a fanboy moment again, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Tell him about that
for good reason, though. Like, you may be cool, but are you cool enough that the Diamond Dallas Page likes your tweet
and DDP
and DDP Yoga? So, and listen, it's not, you know, and actually, yeah, it was one of his tweets, but I reshare it for a reason, and we are not being sponsored, believe me. If we were being sponsored by DDP Yoga, we would upgrade the Dragon Blazer studio, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, and I haven't used it myself, but I don't need to. I've seen enough testimonies and videos, and anything you watch with DDP is a very inspirational, and he's all about people just feeling better, and look what he did for a lot of people, whether you have weight loss or drug addiction struggles. He helped Jake the Snake Roberts. He helped Razor Ramon, Scott, a.k.a. Scott Hall. Like, I totally recommend it to anybody, I'm telling you. But yes, we did get a tweet that was liked by them for retweeting their stuff, so that was pretty cool. You know,
I know, it was awesome. I was very excited.
Definitely, definitely. And that shows you I'm trying. I'm doing some more social media.
I'm not getting those retweets and stuff.
The TikToks are doing pretty well, so thank you for that. But all you people liking the TikToks, don't forget to check the show out. I'm just saying. If you enjoy the previews that you're seeing of this stupid shit we're talking about, you should listen to the episode, because it just gets better the longer it goes.
The short stupid shit's as good as the long stupid shit.
And I have a buddy at work, I'm telling you, that's into the show, so he asks me questions all the time. He wants that behind-the-scenes stuff, because some of you think we're celebrities, and bless your hearts. Just call us that if you want, that's fine.
I love it when they lie to us.
But I guess we don't think about it because we do it, but he's kind of fascinated with the whole thing. I think I mentioned it last week that he didn't realize that we are literally sitting here, in case you don't know, and you're welcome to watch along. We do watch these pay-per-views while we're recording this. We stop, we watch a match, we record about that match, we stop, and we continue, and that is how we do it. And it's also not scripted. Please, this is not professional at all.
Oh, God, no.
Luckily, this is clicking like we wanted it to, and we just play off each other. Like, I do a little research and take notes, but this is not, it's not scripted. Like, anything that's in my shit's just, like, random little jot downs, so I don't forget, because I'm old.
Yeah, he does the hard work on the research, and essentially just basic wrestling knowledge is what
a lot of times it's just me making sure I got the right, like, I'll be like, I think that's what this happened then, but sometimes it's the wrong year, so it's just kind of double-checking my worthless.
And I do all the editing and all that other crap.
But it works out well, right?
It does.
So we'll start with, I mean, there's so much news this week, and I know he knows. Oh, wait till I get to AEW, but let's start with what you brought up last week. I had my answer last week, but we saved it. Favorite Thanksgiving movie, and I believe you said, I'm pretty sure there's only one.
There's only one.
But there is actually more than one, but I'm interested to hear yours first.
Well, the only other one, the only other one I can think of is that, was it Freebird? The turkey
is, that
movie
is one. Okay.
Where the turkeys are trying to escape. It's a cartoon.
Yes, yes.
But no, the only one the only one there is in my heart is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just became best friends. Do you want to play with my nunchucks? Because that is my answer. I shit you not.
That's the only one.
A lot of people get it misconstrued. It is not a Christmas movie. Go back and watch it. They're trying to get home for Thanksgiving.
It's a Thanksgiving
movie.
It
is the Thanksgiving movie. See, there's a reason that we get along most of the time.
I'd have to literally look up to see any other.
See, like, I was hoping that's what you were going to come with, because we have similar taste in movies and stuff. I was like, don't say Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, because that would be like the first.
Yeah.
You know, a good movie.
I don't
movie,
know if I've ever seen Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
I won't. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, isn't it? No, there is a Thanksgiving.
That's Halloween.
There
that's
is
Halloween.
A Thanksgiving one with pilgrims. Yes, there is. Snoopy's
I'm sure there is. I just. But, he had one for, like, every house.
Woodstock's opinion.
There was probably like, stick a flag up your ass, Charlie Brown.
Whoa!
For Flag Day, you know? Flag Day.
Damn, Mom, I downloaded the wrong Charlie Brown.
Oh! Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
I tell you, if Mom sees that bill, you're going to be in trouble, but hush money can save you.
Is hush money right for you? Have you been downloading the wrong Charlie Brown?
Well, if you're watching Charlie Brown stick a flagpole up his ass, it's definitely the wrong Charlie Brown. Are you sure you didn't type in Sonny Pooted? Because that might have been... wow.
Lucy was a bitch, man.
I actually looked up Thanksgiving, and here I am again with the hands. I talked about this last week, like anybody can see me. I looked up a list of Thanksgiving movies, and the only one I remember off the top of my head that I actually enjoyed, you remember the Mark Wahlberg movie... where they adopt the kids. The name of it slipped out now.
I can't say that I
do. But that's also a Thanksgiving movie, but I can't remember the name of it, so I kind of blew that one up. But okay, so we agree that that is the Thanksgiving movie. It makes me excited for next month when we get to Christmas. Because, man, there's so many things you can talk about then.
Yeah.
So we agree on that. We'll move on for now. Next week, maybe we'll bring up the great Thanksgiving debate I have in my back pocket.
Okay.
Next week. So let's start with this. AEW, we had a debut this week, didn't we, Blaze?
We did. I haven't been watching AEW.
Yeah. You know, watching it, Darby's in the ring, lights go out, lights come back on, somebody's dressed in all black. Next thing you know, Darby gets hit with a fucking guitar, because J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T-T, piece of shit, Jeff Jarrett is AEW, he is all elite.
That's right, you told me about this.
Jesus,
save me. I didn't watch it, but I remember you bitching about it.
Do you realize, now listen, I'm going to say this, like I get it, he also has a backstage role. That part I get, because I don't like Jeff Jarrett as a performer, but when it comes to booking and everything like that, he's good. Can you believe that this year alone, Jeff Jarrett has wrestled in GCW, WWF, Impact, and now AEW?
The man just this year?
Just this year has basically been in every
place. I didn't realize Jeff Jarrett was at WWF.
Well, he got hired back and then got fired about 2 weeks later.
Oh, okay.
But he did wrestle a match.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, he was on AEW again last night, like I need to see more of him. And, God, I wish I could remember how he said it, but he took a shot at WWF.
Oh.
You know, he said basically this is real wrestling and it's not being scripted by a circus nose clown something. He was trying to make fun of Triple H in his nose.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's the man in black now. He's the big scary cowboy.
Triple H will pedigree your bitch ass to the ground, okay?
Do we really need him on TV?
No.
Yeah, you hear that silence? That's me reacting to Jeff Jarrett. Jesus Christ. You know what? Hire Punk back and fire Jeff.
This is what
That's how mad I am right now.
This is what it takes for you to get me like, no,
Jesus.
Punk's what we need.
I want Punk back. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's that unnatural
you
hatred.
You really
from
hate Jeff Jarrett. Holy
you know,
shit.
Well, you know, maybe someday, 30 years from now, if we're still alive and we've made it through WCW and we start watching Impact. In the first 5 years of the company, the only man that's ever champion is Jeff Jarrett because he's the fucking booker and he owns the company.
So, reason why people hated Triple H in a way?
Triple H wasn't booking, though.
No, he was just
Jeff Jarrett was literally booking it. Yeah, well. But look, okay, when it comes to the actual wrestling, Jeff Jarrett couldn't even tie Triple H's shoes.
No, I agree.
I mean, come on.
Whether I'm not exactly a fan either. I don't know if I have the eternal hatred that you do.
Unnecessary.
I don't know if I have that eternal hatred, woo! But I know I get it.
Yeah. Someday we could have that great Triple H debate. You know, we welcome anybody to give us feedback and stuff on this kind of thing. But I'm telling you, man, would he have been his champion as much if he wasn't throwing it to Stephanie? Maybe not. But I think he would have been because, again, that time period, there were so many injuries and everything else. But that's for another day. Jeff Jarrett's no fucking Triple H, that's for sure.
Fair enough.
But whatever, you're all elite. He will help with. They're getting ready to extend their live road shows and everything. Jeff Jarrett's good for that kind of stuff. He is good backstage, and I've always heard good things about him. So whatever, I hope it works out. Right?
Right. Sure.
Whatever. Sure. Roll with it. Also, had a little segment where I already knew Saraya, a.k.a. Paige, was cleared, but she came out to make it official. Point being, I saw this coming. We're getting Britt Baker and Saraya at Full Gear. Sign me up.
Yeah, that sounds like a decent match.
More than a decent match. Saraya. To me, this is bigger than Punk's comeback. And I'm not taking anything away from Darby, but Britt's a bigger star in my eyes. You know what I mean?
Darby.
This is two main eventers. I don't care if it's the women's division.
She's the biggest.
This is a huge
women wrestler in AEW. Yes. Hands down.
And this is the biggest match that Saraya could have for her return to the ring and her debut. Like, this is huge. This is a big match. So, Full Gear's looking good. We got that official. We got Moxley, MJF, official for Full Gear. And I think this is the night that MJF's going to become champ. That's what I see happening. So, we'll see. There was some breaking news. We're going to move on to WWE. Some breaking news, and I'm pretty sure I shared it, and I don't know if you heard it, but Stone Cold says he wants to wrestle some more.
Huh.
Yeah. He said after how well WrestleMania went that he's ready for some more matches. Give me
just
some
no
Stone
more
Cold.
Pile drivers.
Give me some more Stone Cold, and it's okay. He doesn't have to wrestle 25 times a year. You know, give me two or three more matches. I'll take it.
Hell yeah.
Give me some Stone Cold versus Edge.
Hell, if it's just Stone Cold at WrestleMania and, once a year.
Give me Stone Cold and Seth. Yeah. Give me Stone Cold and AJ. I can think of a couple of them that I would like to see. You know,
I'd be cool with any of it. Yeah. I just love the fact that he's healthy enough to get back in that ring.
I don't think, and much credit to Kevin Owens, because, you know, it takes two to tango. And that match was amazing at Mania. It made me cringe a few times. No one, again, when you know these guys' history, and Stone Cold hasn't wrestled in fucking forever.
Yeah.
When he got all the shots outside and everything, you know, but so hats off to KO for handling it so well. But yeah, Austin says he's ready to go. And I think part of it is he wants more time. He didn't have as much time as he would have liked to get ready for that match, even though he agreed to it. And I think after it felt so good and went so well, he's like, well, hell, let me see what I can do if I have, you know.
Well, hell, give me a Steve Weiser. Let's
get this shit on the road. Who wants a can and a whoop ass next? Too bad Jeff's still not around.
I'd be fine with him not even wrestling, just coming out, stunning some bitch.
I mean, hey, if he wants to
offering a beer, then stunning him, you know how it is.
I think a lot of this has just become this big infusion. I guess it really started with Edge. And we've kind of touched on this before. They're seeing that it is possible. Medicines have changed.
Was there one before?
I'm talking about the people we talked about once before. People with
wasn't
career.
Daniel Bryan come back from a injury that they thought he wasn't going to be able to do it anymore?
That's true. He might.
And
been
I think
the start
he came
that.
Out before it. He came
he
out before
and then
it.
Got shut down again, which is why he's in AEW. But yeah, his was good. But you're right. But they're seeing now with all these guys that it's possible to come back.
Well, it's technology. Yeah. Technology
the world's
gets
changed.
Better.
Edge had the same exact. Well, Austin had many injuries, but Austin and Edge shared that similar injury. With the fusion and all that. And if he sees what Edge is doing, he's like, hell, let's do it.
That tall son of a bitch is able to get in there. Let me in.
Let me at it. Let me at it. I don't want to completely cover Crown Jewel because I didn't watch it. Neither I know you don't. You're not really heartbroken either way about it, which is fine. That's fine.
I'll watch it when we get to the get to the podcast of it. I don't know if I can bring myself to watch it live. Right. I mean,
I don't watch them live anyway because I like to fast forward. But I didn't get to see it all. But a couple things I can bring up is Mia Yim is back. If you remember Mia, she showed up.
I heard
she
about is, this. I did watch the segment with Bray.
Well, of course.
Of course.
Of course you have to watch that.
But other than that, no, I didn't watch
it. I did watch the main event. I will say.
I heard the main event was actually pretty good.
You know, okay, so I will say, yes, Logan Paul did a great job. I could definitely tell he worked harder and learned some more this time. I told you he was training with Shawn Michaels. So it was fine. I still don't think he should be in that spot, but it was an entertaining match. But for all you that think it's fake and think a YouTuber can just jump in there, he tore his ACL, his MCL, and a meniscus.
Oh, damn.
Fucked up. So he's going to be out for a long time.
Oh, damn, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Roman fucked him up a little bit, you know.
Oh, you know?
It wasn't a bad match. I'm old, so the one part I kind of was like, but I get it, it's the world. So Roman's on the table outside, and Logan's about to jump out and dive on him, just like he did The Miz at SummerSlam. That's his move now. He had his fucking cell phone and broke it out. It was like, you know, isn't this what you want, Roman? You want to be famous? So he live-streamed him
doing the
move from the turnbuckle and held onto his phone the whole time.
That's kind of
cool. Even going through the table.
I kind of
want to
see
so,
that, actually.
So yeah, that was a little cool spot he did, but yes, he lost. He fell. Again, you know, no, who's going to beat Roman? That's the question.
I'm glad it wasn't Logan Paul at Crown fucking Jewel.
By the way, other than Bray Wyatt, the greatest thing on SmackDown, like I keep saying every week, is Sammy. Sammy's my man. Are you Usy?
Honorary
Usy. Have you had your Usy-ness today? Are you Usy today? Did you have a glass of Usy this morning?
I don't know if I'm Usy enough.
You might not be. You're feeling
a little Usy.
Are you guys Usy today? Because you should be. Of all people, that asshole Jim Cornette praised Sami Zayn this week.
Really?
Yes, he did. He praised Sami Zayn and said that the Bloodline is the best thing going.
So he hates the Fiend.
Well, there's no room for supernatural stuff.
But loves.
But it's perfectly fine for the the guy that's not actually an Uso.
The goofy motherfucker.
The goofy motherfucker to be the honorary Uso is perfectly fine. Whatever. Jim Cornette's better. It's fine.
He's not wrong. The Bloodline is definitely the best thing outside of. Actually, you know what? I'm enjoying the Bloodline more than the Fiend stuff. I mean,
because we're still the Fiend stuff still early.
The Fiend stuff is essentially just continuing on with like little snippets. They're like little promos, previews of what's coming. So we haven't got. What we're going to get properly from not Bray yet. Wyatt.
Yeah, and I still believe they're going to save that for... You got to do it somewhere big.
Probably Survivor Series.
Yeah.
They may keep it longer, but I'm just saying... I mean, I'm keeping up with the Bray Wyatt stuff. I'm enjoying the Bray Wyatt stuff. But right now, they're essentially just teasers.
Yeah.
They're just teasing your dick, but they're not actually going full
just
throttle.
Just a tip.
Yeah, just barely the tip.
Barely the tip. It's the big tease.
They're just licking that Bray Wyatt.
The thing with the Bloodline, and we talk about it all the time, for one, because of what they're doing, there's so many ways that shit can go down with this story. You know, as far as Roman losing his title, the tag, there's so many different subplots, but we talk about it all the time. It's organic, man. They're letting it happen. The Bloodline are heels. Tell that to the crowd. You know what I mean?
But I love that there's...
Roman and Jay and Jimmy are having trouble keeping straight faces in the ring, which is great to see that break character. And for Roman to be able to say, you're not Usy enough one minute, and then the next minute say, I'm going to destroy every motherfucker that comes in this ring is the best stuff there is. Let it be what it is.
The Bloodline stuff's probably my favorite.
And
thing
I still
going on.
Think that some... I mean, and I actually read the other day the same thing Craig looked at, where they're saying that... And Owens has been off TV, but they're saying it may end up being Sammy and Kevin back together and they take the titles from the Usos. You know, maybe that's where that's going. But I still say at the end of this, if Sammy's the one that's going to break and turn, he'll be the biggest baby face in the company if he separates from that Bloodline. Like, you know, if they do anything dirty to Sammy. Now, I don't know how it's going to work if it goes the other way. You know what I mean? Like, is Sammy going to be the one that fucks shit up and turns, or are they going to turn on Sammy?
I don't think they're going to turn... Because to my understanding, Roman doesn't want to be face.
No, Roman has no fucking intentions on being face at all. But what I'm saying is the Bloodline going to turn on Sammy, or is Sammy going to turn on the Bloodline? That's what I'm waiting to see.
Is Sammy going to fuck up accidentally
and cause a title change, or is Jay going to finally have enough and make it look like, you know, there's so many ways you can go.
Yeah, there are a couple different ways, but yeah... But right now, I think it's just going well.
It's going great.
I'm just enjoying the ride, man.
It's great stuff. By the way, this is interesting to me. I know he just came back too, but Bray Wyatt surpassed the Bloodline in merchandise sales that quickly.
Well, he's Bray
but
Wyatt.
But he just came back and he's Bray Wyatt. So he's like, you know, I have none of his new merchandise yet, but we're poor folks now. If you'd like to send some money.
I'm a poor son of a bitch.
Strictly for, if you would like to donate, strictly for show purposes. You know,
donate
because I'm not even look. I'm not even wearing a wrestling shirt tonight. I'm running out, people. You got to help me. Really, I just came straight from work. It's the only reason that I'm not. You know, but whatever.
Fair enough. You can still
donate to us if you want to.
But yeah, so we can get wrestling t-shirts to wear while we don't do a video podcast.
He gives it this. By the way, you reminded me, and I got to do this sometime this week.
You know, we do take those cover art pictures at the end of our show.
We do have cover art pictures, and I had a suggestion that I should post pictures on social media of my shirt collection, so apparently people want to see this.
I will do that.
I will start showing the shirts I have worn, but you can see them on our cover art also in the archives, which are amazing. Blaze also takes care of that for us. The cover art's always sick.
I got a comment from my boss about the In Your House 4. She's like, yeah, I saw you being lifted up by your co-host.
That's right, folks. If you haven't seen it, I had Blaze bitch pressed over my fucking
head. I was like, hell yeah, Photoshop is great.
That's the kind of stuff we love. We actually enjoy, you know, figuring out the cover arts. That's good shit. That's Photoshop, maybe. That was his idea too, by the way. But I liked it.
You thought of doing flags because
it was hard to think of something. We keep trying to go with the themes of these In Your Houses, and they didn't really.
Yeah, you know. But we did keep the. I did put the flags in there.
Yes, you do have the flags.
Just little ones.
And I'm showing my massive amount of strength.
Absolutely.
I'm single, ladies. The two of you that listen.
I just thought it was funny if you're the one lifting me.
It was hilarious. I love it. It's all good. You know, you need to check them out. You need to listen to episodes as well. But if you check out the cover art for In Your House 3, where we're mocking Diesel and Sean having all the gold, those belts are actually from my personal collection as well, which I could share on social media, I guess, sometime. I got about four of those. You know, I'm a nerd. What can I say? My room looks like 40-year-old virgin, if you've ever seen that movie. That's what my bedroom looks like. I'll admit that. You know. Whatever. Is that why I'm single? No.
I don't know.
Let's talk about a few interesting things that we saw on Raw. I had a little WCW flashback. Did you see Nikki win the 24/7 title? Did you get to watch Raw?
I saw that she won it and then she threw it in the trash.
And then news did break that the 24/7 title is dead. which doesn't shock me. R-Truth made it entertaining. But if you go way back, I think it was dead from the beginning because everybody thought the hardcore title was coming back. And then you had Mick Foley come out to introduce the title, which made everybody think even more that the hardcore title was coming back. And then you pulled this green thing out of a bag and said, this is the 24/7 title. And I think it was
now just, I wonder if they will bring back the hardcore
title. I just think it was doomed from the beginning, especially having Foley come out.
Yeah, that was weird.
And then he was even kind of like, well, I don't know what the fuck it is. It's like the X Division title we talked about. Foley's like, I don't really know what it is, except you can win it any time. And it was funny a few times, but then it just got kind of...
Yeah, it was a joke belt. It really was.
Yeah, it was. It was just... So it's officially dead. I witnessed the worst failed fucking Money in the Bank cash-in I've ever seen in my life. Let me tell you this. Like, Vince really liked Austin Theory to... Apparently, Triple H doesn't. Because there's a lot of things that don't make sense about this. First of all, the awesome, amazing U.S. champ Seth Rollins came out at the beginning of the fucking show and said he was going to have an open challenge. So, they right away is issue one. Two, Blaze, has anyone ever in the history of Money in the Bank used it to cash in for the fucking United States title?
No, but I think it's cool to show that you can go for any belt.
It is. It's also cool to show you didn't want Austin Theory to have the fucking briefcase to begin with.
Fair enough.
It was weird. In a way, yes. Yes, it shows it's a prestigious... He's not the first one to fail, though. He joins a list of the few that have failed. By the way, one of those being John Cena, in case you guys don't know that. He failed to cash. Of course, he was the first one that also just told him when he was going to do it. So that would have been... Damian Sandow failed. There's like four or five guys that failed, but...
Yeah, I saw a meme on Facebook, probably something you shared.
I just thought it would have been better to go with, like, what I said. I had read that they were talking about doing a match and having them lose it. It was just weird. I don't know. It was a weird cash-in to me. Especially because...
Well, I think you got to get rid of it, because we're not getting too far off from WrestleMania, and it sounds like...
it sounds like Money in the Bank is coming back.
We're
going to
get Money in the Bank at WrestleMania, yeah. So...
Technically, I don't think it's ever been said that you can't go for any title, because they actually talked about when Otis had it, maybe he would go for a tag title. Basically saying it's never specifically been said that you have to go for the world title.
Exactly.
It's just assumed that if you win the briefcase, you're gonna...
That's where you're gonna go.
Yeah, that's just... But it was interesting,
same,
I guess it's
at the same time, if he was to cash it in, he would have to go after the Bloodline. And
they're just like, you know what, who the fuck am I supposed to go after, Roman?
Do you think Theory's going after the Bloodline right now?
Can we let Roman have Theory? That would be... Throw him in a cage. Beat him up a little. See if it does. I don't know. I'm not a fan of Theory anyway. I don't know why.
So this was fun.
Yeah, whatever. It was just a little weird, I thought. But hey.
That was probably like one of the last things that Vince McMahon managed to have go his way. And then...
Yeah. Triple H is like, I'm giving you your full name back, but I'm taking your fucking briefcase. Right. But let's be realistic. Like you just said, this isn't just a knock to Austin Theory, where you're getting close to where one way or the other... That briefcase has to be cashed in. And there are very few guys I could think of off the top of my head right now that if they had that briefcase, they would cash in on Roman. And you know what I mean? Like, he's not at that level yet. Theory couldn't cash in on Roman. That's just...
Here I am, the guy that used to be not that big of a Roman fan. Roman is the... He is the man.
He is the man.
He is the man right now. Like,
absolutely the man.
No one would buy that. It would have to be a really situation where Roman was really... Like when he tried to cash in at SummerSlam. And Brock cut that shit off, you know. That you might have believed that right there he could have cashed in and won, but, you know, it is what it is. What are you going to do? It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm not a huge Theory fan, so it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool that they could show, and maybe that's a foreshadowing of, like, the next person that gets Money in the Bank is going to go for a different title.
Yeah, or if they'll ever, you know, people, I don't know. If you added another Money in the Bank match, it would be too much. But I know a lot of fans over the years wanted to see a tag team.
Money in the Bank.
They've been clamoring.
It would be a hell of a match to watch. Don't get me wrong.
But that would be something. If you're going to do it, you would have to move it. Because if you're already going to have the women's and men's at WrestleMania, even though it's two nights, you don't want to have too many. You know, you don't want to overkill the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, you don't want all WrestleMania Money in the Bank edition.
Yeah. So, we'll see how that goes.
But you could do the Money in the Banks at WrestleMania. Two nights, one at each night. Men, women. And then you could do a tag team Money in the Bank at a different pay-per-view.
You could. Or if you have another evolution, which Triple H has talked about. You could do the women's Money in the Bank at the women's pay-per-view if you bring Evolution back, because they've only did it once. By the way, if you've still never seen it, we'll hit it eventually, but you should watch it. It was actually
helpful. I did want to watch it, and I just never did.
We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there in like 10 years.
We're getting excited already, folks, because we are getting close to the end of 1995, which we know has been a rough year for the company.
We're getting close to.
But we're also excited because we not only have one of the big five tonight, we have Blaze's pay-per-view tonight.
That's right.
This is his pay-per-view. Mine, too, especially back then, because I know, without even looking, we will have some traditional Survivor Series matches on this card, because this is 1995, baby. One more real quick thing I wanted to touch on. I was listening to one of my other podcasts that I listened to, and they were talking about... So Conrad Thompson was talking about David Flair. Anyway, I listened to all his podcasts. He's actually married to one of Ric Flair's kids. He's married to the other daughter that's not Charlotte. So anyway, he said he was talking on the phone with David Flair, and they were talking about the best wrestlers ever. And apparently David Flair, Rick's son, thinks that AJ Styles is one of the best wrestlers ever, which I could agree with. I like AJ. Are you an AJ fan? I mean, it's okay if you're not.
Because
I don't like everybody either.
Here's the thing.
Because I have an issue with this statement, and I'm going to get there in a minute, but I want to hear what you have to say about AJ.
Here's the thing about AJ. I like AJ. I enjoy seeing him in the ring. My opinion of him slightly lowered when I found out he is a flat earther.
Oh, yeah. We've had this talk. It's a flat earther thing. But as a performer, though, he is good. You agree with that, right?
He's good in the ring. He's good on the mic.
The problem I had, though, was when they were talking about, you know, who would be on your top. Of course, David said his dad was number one because whatever. Well, a lot of people do.
You're a dick kid. Because Conrad said
a lot of people will say that Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels are kind of like 1A, 1B. Like, they're right there with each other.
Oh, yeah. Shawn Michaels, I would consider one of the best. Right. Probably the best.
And apparently David Flair made a face and said no. And Conrad's like, what do you mean? And David Flair said AJ would be 1B. AJ's better than Shawn.
Oh.
David, I know who your dad is. And I also know that back in the day you got to sleep with Stacy Keibler, so amen and bravo.
Good job.
AJ Styles is a great performer. AJ Styles is not better than Shawn Michaels.
Hey, David. It's David Flair.
It's just reality.
I'm about to tune up the band. About to tune up this band. And you're about to get sweet chin music.
Like, what the fuck were you smoking when you made that statement? Because you should pass it.
I'm
pass the Ducci.
I'm thinking David Flair is not a sexy boy.
Apparently not, because listen, I mean, I would even, when it comes down to, you can take all the different things, like you can say the best promoter, the best talker, the best performer, blah, blah, blah. To me, when it comes to getting in that ring, doing everything you can, giving the crowd what they came to see, whether you win, whether you lose, the best person when that bell rings and they step through those ropes and they put on a show to me ever was Shawn Michaels.
Is Mr. WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's just my opinion.
Not only that, Shawn Michaels like is an all-around great because he's great on the mic. Yeah. He's great in that ring. He's great at selling.
Yeah.
Absolutely
and that's
great.
I'm not taking nothing away from Flair, but Shawn, all of it, even when he loses, Shawn puts everything out there. The two of the greatest matches in the history of the fucking company are both Shawn versus Undertaker matches.
Look, I'm gonna disagree, but you can say Ric Flair. I can understand if you
Ric Flair could definitely
even if it's not your dad,
right?
Even if
everybody
it's not
would
your dad.
Say Ric Flair, but I don't
you
know
say
how many
Ric
people.
Flair? I understand Ric Flair. You want to say Sting? I know he's huge in WCW.
Yeah, he was an icon.
You know,
he was.
But I strongly disagree with this one. But you want to say Undertaker? I understand Undertaker. The man had an incredible run in wrestling. He just retired. He was there all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think he has the wrestling skills but he was a presence. He was an icon.
That's why when someone asks me, I'm always like, well, can you clarify that? What do you mean? Well, because there's a million categories.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a difference between the best wrestler, the best performer, the best talker. Like, what are you talking? Is Undertaker one of the greatest performers in wrestling? His character will never be touched.
Yeah.
But Taker's not Shawn Michaels in the ring.
No. I mean, but you want to argue like The Rock? Stone Cold?
Yeah, I mean...
Sure, I'll hear those arguments. I still think Shawn's better, but I'll hear those arguments. You want to say Hulk Hogan? Wrong.
Yeah, when it comes to wrestling. But I would even challenge that. I would even challenge that with The Rock, too, because guess what? The Rock was one of the greatest performers because he was so formers, because he was so fucking entertaining that that's all that mattered. You know where he did that to fuck with the boys. That started as a joke. He was at a house show one night and thought, I'm going to do this and make this look like the most devastating move ever. To get the fucking guys to laugh.
Watch it. It's one of the lamest finishes ever. But pulling that elbow pad, raising that eye. So that's what we're saying here. We're talking about two different things.
Absolutely.
Pulling that elbow pad, raising that eye. So that's what we're saying here. You're talking about two different things.
Absolutely.
You know, but AJ's not a better.
Bret Hart? No. I mean, in my opinion, no one is. I mean,
you know.
I would say I could agree with Flair at 1A, 1B, but Shawn's like...
I grew up as Triple H as my favorite wrestler. Shawn is still the best.
Exactly.
In my opinion, especially when Ron is still the best.
Exactly.
In my opinion, especially when I rewatch these podcasts... Or rewatch these
every time we see Shawn come out, we're like, well, we're good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a fuck this if he's fighting be fun. Henry Godwin or who the fuck it is.
Or fucking Hulk Hogan.
Which is fine, too, because guess what?
Wait.
I'm a huge Hulk Hogan fan because as a kid, he was like a superhero to me. And then when he became a bad guy, if you don't think Hulk Hogan is one of the best fucking heels in wrestling that there ever was, way better than his red-yellow shit. Fuck those vitamins. NWO Hogan...
I do like NWO Hogan.
And there again, it was the heel. I know Hogan can't wrestle, so does he. He's never said he could. But actually, he can if you watch his old shit from Japan. I've brought this up before. When Hogan was in Japan, they said, don't do all that. Save your body and sell. You don't need to do all those fancy moves. If you've never seen Hulk Hogan do a fucking, like, enziguri kick, you need to watch some of that Japan stuff because it's crazy. So anyway, I just wanted to get an opinion on that because I knew you were going to think, come on, David Flair. AJ's not.
No, David Flair should shut the fuck up.
But man, I tell you what, I wish they weren't born at the right time, and maybe they did at some point, but I wish we could have saw Flair versus AJ when he was young, and I wish we could have saw Shawn versus AJ.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong, I like AJ.
And they were
like
going to try to do that. They were going to try to do that when AJ first signed, remember? Everybody wanted to see Shawn and AJ. No, but instead we gave Shawn $3 million to suck at Crown Jewel over in Saudi Arabia. And we could have had him fight AJ in San Antonio.
Yeah, well.
But whatever.
No.
Whatever.
I understand.
All right, well, did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
No, so we are good to go. We are about
Chucky's
to
been great, other than
Chucky,
that.
Chucky's the man. But we already know that.
I just watched the newest episode today.
I'm still behind. You can't spoil me. I'm trying here, but you know, I'm a busy man. I got
where
a
you
job.
At? Where are you at?
Where are you at? I'm three episodes in. Yeah, I know.
Damn.
I know. It's the real life that gets me, you know. Then I try to watch wrestling and... Now I'm working on the social media stuff, and then I sleep because I'm old.
I understand. I do a lot of my social media stuff while I'm watching Chucky.
Yeah. I tend to get... We had this talk. We can't talk about my personal life on air, but you know.
Fair enough.
Like, I'm behind on Chucky, but I will catch up. It's fine. And I still have not got to see Clerks 3 yet, but when I do, we're going to talk about that as well. I saw your post, and we're going to talk about that off air, because damn, we're getting everybody here. At Columbus. Kevin Smith's going to be here, folks. Not here.
I know.
But in Columbus.
I wish I could go.
I would so.
I can't afford to go. But if you want to, you know.
If you want to inquire about hush money.
For something that has nothing to do with wrestling.
Listen, we need to start a GoFundMe to meet Kevin Smith that has nothing to do with our podcast.
I bet he watched a wrestling show once.
Look, would you be surprised if he knows Jericho? We're going to tie this in somehow. Maybe he knows Jericho.
Maybe.
It seems more to me like Christian. He would know Christian. I don't know why. Don't you see Christian hanging out with Kevin Smith? Like, Jericho's too
actually,
much. He's like...
Actually, let's think of this logically.
Yeah?
RVD.
Dude.
The Kevin Smith has his own brand of marijuana. RVD has had that marijuana.
For
There's
years.
There's our connection. There's
years.
Our connection.
RVD was like, the WWE and ECW title are not important enough for me to put my weed down, okay?
Exactly.
It's not gonna happen.
That's fair.
It's fair, really.
You know what? Why? Why do you care so much, WWE?
I know, dude.
I understand. Stop the steroids, but, man.
It was some weed, and like, you didn't know? You didn't know RVD was... Everybody knew, man. You let RVD beat John Cena at the ECW pay-per-view in the ECW arena for the WWE title. He was the hottest thing going, and because he gets pulled over with some fucking weed... You strip him of all his belts. Do you know that same thing happened to the New Age Outlaws?
You destroy your body, you deserve some weed, man.
The New Age Outlaws were crossing the Canadian border, had like an eighth of weed, and they got fucking fired.
Oh, you didn't know?
You better call somebody. Listen, I'm not encouraging the smoking of the weed, but I'm just saying there's way worse things that went on in wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Than a little bit of marijuana.
Yeah. There's a whole story where Kane rapes someone, so, you know, fuck, let him have the damn marijuana, okay?
Marty Jannetty has killed people and slept with children that are his. That so
tried. But she been daughter.
Did we find this body yet, by the way? That story disappeared fast. Like, I was just joking, please. Please don't go to the cemetery located at 1234, you know, whatever. Like, he was very specific, like... Oh, I think Marty's on this pay-per-view. We're going to find out.
Oh, maybe. I mean, we got really generic.
He just came Marty back. Last week. And I didn't get to watch a whole lot of Raws, but I know the kid is officially bad now. I don't know if he's on this pay-per-view, but he's turned. Remember, we were seeing hints of that.
Yeah, it seemed like he was turning heel.
He's the new bad guy. So let's do it. Let's dig in. Let's see what we got. Let's travel back to 1995. All right, so... First, I wanted to say before we get started on what we saw here, this was the first Survivor Series to be on a Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and see, I think we mentioned this before. This is the year where they started moving all their pay-per-views, but traditionally Survivor Series was usually in the middle of the week closer to Thanksgiving. So this is the first Sunday Survivor Series. There was also a dark match before the program, and it was the Smoking Guns against Public Enemy. And you may not know Public Enemy because
I recognize. I think I've heard of them.
I think they were in WWF for a minute, but they're mainly WCW and ECW guys. But what's interesting is they actually wrestled for ECW the night before, so they wrestled in Philly the night before and then drove to DC to take part in a match that wasn't even on the pay per view. But hey, it's still WWF, right? So you're like, sure, I'll do it,
right?
All right. So before our first match, we get the introduction of Mr. Perfect. He's back. He's on commentary, but he's back, so we'll take it.
Absolutely. You know, I love tie. Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect is one of the greatest ever. And we get a package.
He's perfect on commentary.
He is. He said it was going to be the perfect pay-per-view. The perfect Survivor Series. That's what he said. And after that, we get a package talking about our main event. The main event tonight is going to be Sid. Diesel and Brett for the title, and it's a no DQ match. We got a little package showing that, and then we kick it off with a Survivor Series match right away, and I kind of laughed when I saw the people coming out, but it was actually a really good kickoff match. It was the Underdogs, which was the team of Marty Jannetty, Barry Horowitz, Bob Holly, and Hakushi? I don't remember Hakushi being a face at all. I don't, and Marty actually got cheered this time, and it looks like the fringe was a little shorter.
A little less fringe. There was a lot on the last one.
There was a lot. He still is rocker-esque, and he still has his rocker music, but, you know. Bob Holly was actually a substitute in this match. Originally, it was supposed to be, man, I can't believe we missed it, Avatar was supposed to be in this match.
Was he like a giant blue CGI dude?
That's what we would think now, but it was kind of like their version of Glacier and shit, like they were trying to do like the Mortal Kombat. But eventually, Avatar failed miserably, but the guy under the mask would eventually become Al Snow. So his career turned out fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but he was originally supposed to be in this match.
I know what I want.
What do you want?
Head!
I mean, the guy got over Styrofoam fucking mannequin heads is his career. So
I loved Al Snow, man.
Al Snow is great. Their opponents were the Body Donnas, which... So you had Sonny coming out first. The funny thing was, they're going to introduce their opponents as music starts, and I'm like, whose cheap porno music is this? The door opens, and it's Sonny. I wish that shit would have been on tape. Like, you couldn't find that any better. Who's cheap porn music? And yeah. it's Sonny.
Okay.
That all makes sense. I got it now. Now we're setting the mood. I get it. All right.
And, I was in the mood.
Oh, shoot. And so this team is Skip, who is a Body Donna. And then Rad Radford, who is a Body Donna wannabe. I've watched wrestling a lot of years. I fucking don't know who the hell Rad Radford is.
Neither.
But I would tell you, you will appreciate this because I Googled him. And he started off wrestling in Mexico. And in Mexico, I shit you not, his character and his name in Mexico was Madonna's boyfriend. Like, why couldn't he still be Madonna's boyfriend in WWE? That might be a better character. Rad. Radford? I don't know. And their partners were, oh, wrong one.
I don't know how much research.
Tom Pritchard.
This is,
the Rad Radford thing threw me off.
Is the Rad Radford Madonna's boyfriend, are we talking about the Material Girl Madonna?
You know, all I know is it says in Mexico, he wrestled under the ring name Madonna's boyfriend. That's all it says. And then in ECW, he was, or no, in WCW, he was Louis Spicoli. Whatever. So the body down to the sea, so you had Rad Radford and you had Chris Candido, Skip, who's a body down there. They were partners with Dr. Tom Pritchard, Bruce Pritchard's brother, part of the Heavenly Bodies. And then the mystery opponent ended up being an evil million-dollar corporation, 1-2-3 kid.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't change his name once he went heel.
Yeah.
Like, do you really want to be a heel as the 1-2-3 kid?
It's a bad, intimidating name, isn't it?
It wasn't exactly a great name and before he was a heel, but...
GWF? Was that old promotion? Yeah, he started off there. He was the Lightning Kid. There.
So. They're just, like, really focused on him being a kid.
A kid, yes.
Yeah.
His first gimmick was the Lightning Kid. And I actually knew him because, again, even when I was a kid, I would watch... That Global Wrestling was on, like, some stupid, like, public access channel or something, but I used to watch it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was called Global Wrestling Federation. But that Marcus Alexander Bagwell, Buff Bagwell, started there. That's where I first saw him, the Patriot. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. This was actually a good match. When I saw this lineup, I'm like, this is going to suck.
Yeah, no.
But dude, there was, like, look, Bob fucking Holly hit a Frankensteiner. And then Skip hit went off the top rope. There were two Frankensteiners in this match. Like, there was some good action. Like, and Hakushi, the fans were fucking into it. Like, these guys are lit up. We're in D.C., and these fans are like, Marty got a pop like he was fucking Hulk Hogan. I don't know what's going on. If they, like, fed him speed before the show, I don't know. But
probably.
This crowd is hyped.
Probably.
They are on it. They are ready to go.
He brought his speed from
I home. Guess so. Oh, Barry Horowitz. Did I mention Horowitz was on the team? Anyway, he was there. But, Bob Holly hit that Frankensteiner. Rad Radford had a nice spine buster. But Bob Holly eliminated Tom Pritchard first with a cross body from the top rope. And then right away, Skip came in and rolled a poly from behind, and he was gone. So we had two quick eliminations right off the bat there. Should be paying attention. They should know this by now, shouldn't they? Later in the match, the 1-2-3 kick nailed a nasty kick in the back of Hakushi's head. And Rad Radford just pinned him. Like, he didn't have to do anything. He was like, we're right. Fucking out. The kid missed a few of those kicks, but some of them... He kicked fucking Marty in the stomach later in the match, and Marty must have sold really good, but it looked like he got kicked in the nuts. Like, Marty went down hard.
Like, Marty was...
Listen, he might have some stuff to do.
He was never bad in the ring, and he sold well.
This was an example of he's not bad in the ring. It's just, when you have cocaine and Marines in your life, you can't... Yeah, well, it's a school of jobbers, folks. We'll show you how to... Marty can wrestle. What was that move Marty hit that was very impressive off the top rope? Marty did something really badass. Powerbomb. That was towards the end of the match. Marty hit a powerbomb from the top rope, and it was pretty slick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we saw some things, you know, we didn't see before. But actually, the powerbomb off the top was to Skip, and that eliminated Skip. So... Then Kid hit a leg drop from the top rope that was pretty cool. Reminded me of Bobby Eaton back in the day. Kind of like an Alabama Jammer. But, of course, the Kid kicked out of that. And then the crowd starts going nuts. We're like, what the fuck? And Sid came out. Here comes Sid. Let's bring in the muscle because Kid might lose to Marty. We can't have that.
No, absolutely.
Then at first, Sid did not do anything. He just... No, but he
just watching.
But does he have to do... Listen, I know he could have done a lot more if he wanted to focus so much on softball. But Sid was a badass. Sid looked like a badass. Sid's what I talk about when I talk about characters so much, because when Sid came out, I believed that Sid might fucking kill somebody. Like,
no, he looked psycho.
And then WWF was even better because of the whole psycho gimmick. Like, good shit. But eventually, you know what was going to happen. The ref wasn't looking, and Sid fucking killed Marty Jannetty, and the 1-2-3 kid won the match.
Well, you know what? It was perfectly justified.
It was.
You know why?
Why?
Well, Sid Vicious caught wind that Marty Jannetty murdered someone, so he was out there to be his executioner and gave him a guillotine off the top rope.
Like, Ted distracted the ref, and Marty died. That's what happened. Like,
that's right.
His neck had to have broke. Like,
hey, that's just some vigilante justice.
It's hard to visualize this, but if you guys watch wrestling, you know what we're talking about. Like, the old just choke the guy when you're outside over the top rope. But Sid literally, like, lifted him up and brought him down with all his fucking force.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Marty's neck is broken.
It was a guillotine.
Right now. It was totally a guillotine.
Yeah.
I'm sad that we didn't get some more Sonny.
Hey, you know, that's what happens when you kill people.
When you kill people. He probably, you know, Marty probably owed him money for product. That's what I guess.
Either that or this is around the time he tried to bang his daughter and Sid wasn't having that either.
Oh, my.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was daughter.
Was daughter. Hey guys, today some pretty big news came across.
That chick I wanted to bang? You mean your daughter? She's not my daughter. It's cool.
I'm your sister.
bringing up some Joe
Dirt. She wasn't actually my sister. Oh, yeah, I was.
Oh my gosh.
Like Van Halen, not Van Hagar. Joe Dirt's a great movie, you know it is.
I love Joe Dirt. This,
even though the teams were a crazy name and there were some weirdos in this match, and I don't know why Hayakushi was a good guy, this was an excellent Survivor Series match. Great way to kick off the show. I wasn't bored. I'm not saying it was over the top, but there were some nice high-flying moves. You know, the crowd was into it. You know, you got your guys that no one cares about out of the way. You put them in the first match so you don't have to...
I mean, I'm giving it three executions.
Three executions, because that fucker is dead. Uh-huh. For sure. By the way, they showed Razor the whole time watching this match. He tried to come out at the beginning of the match, but they showed him in the back watching it. And when the match was over, they're like, let's see Razor's reaction. He was destroying the fucking
locker room. Yeah, Razor got super pissed because people he doesn't really give a shit about lost. But because 1-2-3 Kid won.
Well, you made a good point, too, though. Like, his main feud, we assume, is the Kid, you know, because he just turned and everything. But Razor's not even in a match against the Kid.
Well, the weird thing is, like, the Kid seems to be just added to this match.
He was. Actually, now they mentioned it on there, and they tried to say that Ted DiBiase bought the other spot. It was supposed to be the Pirate, Jean-Pierre Lafitte, who stole Bret's jacket. It was supposed to be him. In real life, he got injured, but Vince mentioned on commentary that Ted paid the Pirate not to wrestle, so...
I see.
So that's why we got the Kid. The Kid was not supposed to.
I don't know. If you're doing storylines, which maybe this is... Because they did have Razor come out, and they showed what his reaction was. So I guess it all makes sense, but... I mean, traditionally with these kind of matches, you throw in both of them in the Survivor Series and they
face off. And that's a good point because the only real feud in this match that they just threw together was Skip and Barry Horowitz. That's like really the
only... That was
only...
a feud?
Yeah. Remember they had their singles match? No, I didn't say that, but remember it. Remember Barry beat him on, you know, whatever, that one pay-per-view. See, we don't care now either.
So, one match means that this is a feud.
I guess. We don't remember before that, Barry beat him on TV. We're not watching the Raws anymore. Fair enough. That's how the feud started, is Barry Horowitz beat him on TV, and then Sonny wouldn't give it up that night because he lost to fucking Barry Horowitz. So he didn't get any Sonny nights.
Oh, that's enough for a feud. I'm not getting laid.
For a feud.
Yeah. You're the reason I'm not getting laid. Let's fight.
I know.
I get it.
I know that Sean's going to give him some Sonny in a little while. Anyway, I'm going to give this three destroyed locker rooms. That's what I'm going to give this.
Three destroyed locker rooms.
It was a good kickoff match, and I'm all about the Survivor Series trip. And it was actually, you pointed out, it was like almost 30 minutes, and it didn't seem like it to me.
Yeah, I thought
it
27 went. Minutes.
It was fast-paced.
Well, not the whole match.
But I still, mean, I mean, that counts the entrance and everything. Yeah, so it was
entrances and stuff.
It was about 20 minutes. Yeah, so, all right, well, let's see what's next. All right, so before the next match, they go back to the locker room, and we get an interview with Jim Cornette, Yoko Owen, and Dean Douglas. And, man, I forgot about this. So, Blaze, you remember when we did that listener request with Halloween Havoc, and I was telling you about Bill Watts, who was the guy that, you know, said you couldn't throw people over the top rope and all that.
Right.
Well, he works for WWE now at this point.
Okay.
And he has a match that he did for the Survivor Series. And his idea was to have a wild card match. Now, okay. In theory, it's supposed to be a mix of heels and faces.
Okay.
But this team right here is Yoko, Owen, Dean Douglas, and Razor. One fucking face on a team of heels. Interesting, okay. Huh? I forget the other team. We'll find out later on, but that's what we get. And then after
In fairness, if there's only one heel on the face team, that's your wild card. You have one wild card on both teams.
Yeah.
Instead of saying mix,
right.
I gotta it's one wild card. Yeah. So that's gonna face, be one heel. Sounds interesting.
You know, they were telling Razor, like, you need to get your, get focused on this. Forget about the 1-2-3 kid. You got a match. Blah blah blah. So, well, I'll tell you what, it was more interesting than the next match.
Oh my gosh,
first of all, I love women's wrestling, but not in 1995.
Oh.
So Vince was like, so here's what I want to do. I want to have Alundra and Bertha at the Survivor Series. We need some women, and they just called Japan and was like, got anything?
Well, they did have one. There was one decent woman, and it wasn't Alundra Blaze.
No, and this shows you what happens when you can't communicate. Can't just fly in some wrestlers from Japan and be like, let's do this. This was horrible.
I've seen better wrestling at a local house show, and this, I mean, I love my local wrestlers, you know, I'm friends with one of them.
Yeah.
So I love local wrestling. But this is WWE.
Yeah.
Or WWF.
Fucking Survivor
This series. Is the cream of the crop. And if your local wrestlers are wrestling better than you can on a WWF pay-per-view...
Survivor Series, people.
Survivor Series, one of the big four? Like, I don't think there's been a lot of... we've seen some weird botches, and we might consider one wrestler a bad wrestler. I have never seen a collective group be so bad
at
wrestling.
Like, let's just give away everything about wrestling. Like... Fucking Alundra does like the classic Ric Flair flip over in the corner and then just stops on the apron and the fucking other one looks at her like, what are we doing? Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be over here. Like, they just stopped all the, it was, Jesus Christ, just didn't mean all.
It was
terrible. So bad. We can't even describe how bad it was. There was literally a point where Alundra was trying to do a pile driver on one of these girls and I'm sitting here going, please don't kill this one.
Yeah, don't kill her.
She couldn't get her up, right?
She couldn't pick her up.
Like, she was going to break her fucking neck.
I know. It was bad. I mean, this may be the single worst match I have ever seen.
This was worse than Waylon Mercy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
God.
This was terrible. And we already had some issues with Bertha, but she was barely in there.
There was definitely a lack of communication. There were a couple times the ref counted and wasn't fucking sure if he was supposed to call it a three count or not.
Every time a tag happened, the Japanese girls
aren't even, they're like already in the ring.
Maybe that's how they do it in Japan,
though. Maybe. The one chick was that on could the top be rope
like
already,
normal like... in Japan, and they just didn't understand that. And in America, we don't normally, you get tagged, then come in, not like, be part of the way in and then get
this
the
shit was so bad that Alondra's gonna choose to go to WCW that doesn't even have a women's division just to get away from this shit.
Let's be honest, WWF doesn't have a women's division either, so I mean,
I didn't realize when I was younger because I remember her going there and then I'm like, oh, that's right, all WCW had was the Nitro girls. There was no women didn't wrestle at WCW, that wasn't a thing, but she went there
ever?
Anyway. I don't think Medusa ever had a fucking... I think Medusa wrestled Eric Bischoff. They didn't really have a women's division, no. Like, they were too busy with the Nitro girls out there shaking that ass.
So did Alundra Blaze become a Nitro girl?
No, she didn't. She didn't. I don't... She might have had it. I'll have to look that up. And I'm wondering if she wrestled at all. But anyway, this was shit.
Absolute shit. Like I said, there was the one girl that had polka dots that you said, what is this, a spiritual successor of Dusty Rhodes?
Like the Japanese Dusty Rhodes.
Thing. She came out there and did these.
She did some impressive.
They weren't quite German suplex. It was more like an underhanded underhook suplex.
It was an underhook suplex.
Underhook suplex.
Multiples of them.
Did about like four or five of them in a row.
Probably the best spot of them.
And then they had to just take her out with some shit. But she was the only one that really was anywhere close to impressive. They took her out pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then you got just terrible wrestling all the way around.
It was 3-on-1 and it was just at the end and whatever.
I wanted to smack Vince McMahon. He's like, well, these girls are just looking pretty impressive in there. The fuck they are, Vince McMahon.
I caught it like two or three times in the match where Vince was like, well, continue, JR. Like, he didn't know what the fuck to say. JR's just trying to sell, you know, when I was a kid, they did this all the time. this was a great rivalry over in Japan for the last 15 years. Yeah, but nobody knows who the fuck they are.
I don't even care about that. I don't even... Yes, sell that. Sell that. But when your commentator, Vince McMahon, is trying to say how good these girls are in, and we have eyes. We have eyes.
And I think...
They aren't good. I'm pretty sure Vince McMahon was giving some hush money to these Japanese girls, and that is why he's saying they're impressive. Because maybe they were impressive in the bedroom, but not in that fucking ring. They weren't impressive in that fucking ring.
At all. And then you had, the crowd was so pumped, and then you just killed the crowd. You killed them. They fucking could have heard your pin drop. They didn't give up. The one chick on a Lunger's team looked like a Wish knockoff of the fucking Ultimate Warrior, and this bitch was looking everywhere but in the ring during the match like, is this over? What do we...
Are we done
What
the fuck
is happening here? It was horrible. You know, no. Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah,
absolutely terrible.
Just because of Dusty Rhodes' spiritual animal, I'm going to give it one polka dotted outfit.
I'm giving it 0.5 underhook suplexes.
Because those were pretty good.
That's the only thing that this deserves any recognition for. Jesus. Other than that, this was absolute shit. Terrible. Fucking give this away. If I tell you what, if we were to be able to bring some person who's not a wrestling fan and watch this pay-per-view, I would understand every reason why they never want to watch wrestling again.
They would never watch it again, ever.
If they were to make fun of me for liking wrestling for the rest of their life, I would be like, I understand, because you watched that piece of shit.
That shit right there destroyed your life, yeah.
My gosh, you want to censor WWF, old WWF pay-per-views with blackface and everything else? You should have cut out this fucking match, because this is not showing you a good product.
Very soon we see the women's division just die, and we'll see it come back later in 96.
That was undead. But that should have been dead a long time ago. They stopped doing women's wrestling. They should have stuck with it until they got someone who actually cared to wrestle in that ring.
Thank you for what we have now. Thank you so much for the women's matches. You know, like Bianca Belair and Bayley and Charlotte and all you. Yeah, because Jesus. Let's move on and hope the next match isn't as bad as this shit.
I'm going to quit.
Blaze is walking out right
I'm
now.
I'm about to walk out of this
assistant?
Podcast.
I need someone to finish this shit
I'm
with me.
I'm about to walk out of this podcast because that was fucking terrible.
Terrible. So before her next match, we get Todd Pettengill in the audience with President Bill Clinton. Did you recognize him?
It was Bill. Right?
Clinton. I did not have relations
with that woman.
With this show.
He wasn't a bad impersonator. He looked kind of like the fucking Secret Service guys were really cheesy, though. That was pretty pretty funny. And our next match is Bam Bam Bigelow against Gold Dust. And when Bam Bam came out and the pyro went off, the fake president had to hit the ground because he thought someone was shooting at him. Oh, good stuff. And what about Goldust's entrance, man? Like, he got the Hulk Hogan treatment, kind of. I don't know. Hogan must pose, but he got it to come out to. Like, he moved so much in the ring and everything that his entrance music restarted because he was out there so long, you know, doing his little parading and all. But this right here, much better than the last match. Like, way better. Blew it away. I mean,
If they would have showed me a arm wrestling match, it would have been better than the last match.
But, and I've always been a Dustin fan. I always thought he was good, but you, of course, had to point out Goldust's wardrobe early on in the match. And thanks.
It was,
buddy.
It was glaring.
It was staring at me with its one eye.
Oh my gosh, one-eyed Willie.
So, you know, we go back and you watch this new. When Goldust first started, he wore like cloth outfits instead of the leather that he later switched to, and the cloth was kind of loose, and things kind of...
Well, things shape.
And protrude.
They shape, and I...
He's traumatized a little.
So
give him a
glad.
Minute.
I'm so glad Goldust wasn't turned on in that ring, because... It would have burst through.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a dick in a box because it would have went right through the box. It would have.
They kept on doing camera angles where it was like literally in your face.
This isn't in your house.
We're talking about the tip, by the way. Just the tip.
The outfit was, you know, it gets better later.
I think the match was all right, but that's...
Well, all we could see is a penis after that because he had to point it out. So, Goldust's penis put on a very good show. And, jeez. He's probably going to dream about it tonight. You really couldn't let it go.
I hope not. Oh, my God.
Speaking of having it bad, you think you had it bad. This is Bam Bam's last match in WWE.
Ever? He never shows back up?
Which is crazy because a lot of times they do. Bam Bam never went back. 8 months ago, this man was the main event of WrestleMania. And now he's leaving.
Now he's losing to Goldust's tiny prick.
Right. Which, don't get us wrong, Dustin's a good wrestler, but Goldust is still new. This is like his third match. Vince was like, he's beaten some incredible people like Marty Jannetty and Savio Vega.
Two people.
Yeah,
two mid-card people.
And again, like I think I touched on this once before, but Bam Bam blames it on he didn't want to go. He didn't want to let LT beat him at WrestleMania. That he thought was a bad idea. But you have to look at the other side of the coin. $250,000 and being the main event of WrestleMania is hard to. I mean, it's 95, so $250,000 is a lot of money,
right?
But Bam Bam knew it was a bad idea, and he was right. He was right. You lost LT. They tried to make you a face, and then you lose to Goldust and you're done. But yeah, he never went back. He never went back. But Bam Bam also said that he did one thing that was definitely a no-no in the 90s, and he got on the wrong side of the click. And he thinks that has something to do with his the way he was booked and whatever. Whatever, dude. You should have put LT over.
I guess. Like,
let me main event WrestleMania against the football player. Anyway, way better than the last one, and I'm going to give this match, I don't know, I'll give it 2.5 tips.
2.5 tips.
Just a tip.
I don't know. I give.
You can't even talk over here.
I give it 2.
You give it 2?
You gave it the tip. I give it the balls.
You know what's funny is you brought it up this time, last time the tip got in the conversation, you had trouble recovering too. I got you with the tip last week, I think.
I can't help
it. The tip gets him every time.
I can't help it.
You can't help it. So the president did not die. The fake president did not die. Goldust when Bam Bam leaves. And yeah. You know, way better. Let's see what's next.
All right.
All right. So before the next match, we get Todd Pettengill with President Clinton again. And look who shows up, nobody except for Blaze's favorite superstar ever, Mr. Bob Backlund.
Fuck. Bob Backlund.
I mean, let's look at the positive side. I don't think he really spoke to Ida a little bit, but not too much. It wasn't too bad. But.
Yeah, he tried to spit, and then he couldn't remember what he was supposed to be saying, so he's like,
And then the fake Bill Clinton got lost because he didn't know what the fuck he was supposed to say because Bob Backlund is now senile.
But now, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure we go, but we also don't get paid a crap load of money by WWF
right.
to do this shit.
Exactly. We don't have a script either. We're just winging it.
Yeah, we don't have a script.
God.
He couldn't find the cue cards.
He's starting to lose his mind. I don't even know why he's still around, but whatever. Vince has a song.
Oh my gosh. Why is he still here?
Why is he still? I think it's going to be soon. I want to say he leaves in 96 when stuff starts getting better, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
At this point, I want Bob Backlund to kill Keanu Reeves' dog so he can John Wick the shit out of him.
John Wick the shit out of him. That's what we need.
Somebody's by the way, I just watched John Wick.
In case you didn't catch on to that.
Yeah, I just watched John Wick this weekend with my kids.
Nice, nice. So our next match, we get a package. After this, we get a package for our next match.
Didn't we already get a package a couple matches ago with Goldust? Hey!
That was just the tip, though. This is the whole package right here, buddy. The whole big package of fucking Mabel. We get the package of Mabel and Taker, and I was wrong. I was so hoping this was the show, but it was actually on the Raw. When we watched In Your House last time, we had Yoko and Mabel versing each other because they beat The Undertaker up. But it was on Monday Night Raw when Mabel went to hit a leg drop and he landed on Taker's fucking face instead of the neck and chest area and he literally broke Taker's face. So Taker's been out of action, therefore that's why we got the Phantom of the Opera Undertaker in this little, to protect his broken fucking orbital.
Damn.
Nash, didn't you save Mabel's job? So technically your fault that the Undertaker has a broken orbital? I'm just saying.
I can't believe Mabel's still there.
Right. Only because Nash shaved him. Fun fact we'll get to eventually. Years later, Rey Mysterio re-breaks Undertaker's orbital doing a 619. And he's not even 500 pounds, so you know. So anyway, it is the Royals, which is Isaac Yankum, Jerry the King Lawler, Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and King Mabel. And they are taking on, you know, I get it. They're called the Dark Side because the Undertaker's their team captain, the Kid God. It's Savio Vega, Henry fucking Godwin, and Positive Fatu.
You know what? In fairness, this match was essentially Undertaker versus everyone else. Because Undertaker's the one that takes care of everyone. And
they all had Undertaker shirts on.
Yeah, it was just Undertaker's fan club.
And isn't it, we talked about it last time, but isn't it weird when you see this group of guys go out and you're like, that's Taker's posse. Fucking Savio, Henry, and Rikishi are legit. That's the Bone Street crew, dog.
Oh, jeez. Don't say that.
The BSK is in the house. So this was a good match, and we watched it.
You know, the people they faced, they all had kind of cheesier gimmicks now, but they all become huge. You got Triple H, while he's Hunter Hearst Helmsley. You've got Isaac Yankum before he's Kane.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry the King Lawler's still before he becomes the commentator.
Puppy!
The commentator.
The puppy man.
And then you also have Mabel before Viscera. Not as big of a big deal, but
yeah.
I don't remember hating Viscera like Mabel.
I think his career was a lot better as Viscera. Even when he came back again as Big Daddy V. Which was,
oh yeah, I remember that.
God, that was the ring gear for that was horrible. But anyway, fun fact about this match too. Five of the men in this match were still with the company 13 years later. And that would be Taker, Triple H, Jerry
Lawler.
All
the people Lawler. I just mentioned.
Everybody you mentioned except for Henry Godwin and Savio are gone by 98. Mabel gets released and comes back later on. So you take those three out, everybody else in this match was still there. And Triple H is still there.
Well, yeah.
Jerry Lawler is still there, I believe. I don't think he does commentary all the time. I think he's still under contract.
Yeah.
Whatever. It is what it is. Technically, Taker's still there. He retired, but he's got a lifelong, ridiculous $35,000 million contract or some shit. I don't know. He's got a lifelong Legends contract.
Right.
But it was not a bad match. It was entertaining, and we finally get to this point where the hot tag goes to the Undertaker. Jerry Lawler's in the ring, and nobody will fucking tag him. Like, everybody jumps. That's
pretty funny.
First of all, he did the heel cower, which, like, Jerry Lawler's underrated, I think. He was a legend in Memphis, but his overall career, I think he's underrated. You know,
I understand.
I do, because people don't put it all together, but he's such a great heel. He did the back off thing. He goes to tag. Everybody gets off the apron. Fucking Mabel's, like, leaning back, like, nope, dog. I don't want nothing.
He's just a fantastic heel. He really sells. Not wanting to do shit.
You know, the Taker came in. The Taker fucking cleaned house. Taker cleaned house quickly. He tombstone Lawler, gone. He battled with Isaac Yankum for, what, a couple of minutes? Tombstone gone. Triple H tried to escape, and when he was trying to leave, here comes Henry Godwin with the slop bucket. Now, let's just take a minute to think about this. I know that slop's disgusting. I understand that. But I am facing a slop bucket or a possible chance of the Undertaker tombstoning me. I'm going to go with the slop bucket.
He didn't get tombstone.
He did not, but he got pulled up by his hair and got choke slammed halfway across the arena and down into hell.
That was cool as shit.
And it was a cool choke slam. That was he picked a cool him up. Triple H was outside the ring on the other side of the apron. He picked him up and literally carried him about the middle
of
the ring.
And Triple H isn't exactly a small man.
He's not. Now, he's not the game buff yet, but he's definitely not a tiny guy. So
no.
And then after that, Triple H is eliminated, and Mabel realizes he has to come in. He's like, fuck that dog. And Oscar comes in instead, and Mabel's like, yeah, Mabel just leaves. So it's a clean sweep for the Dark Side, even though Undertaker did all the work. It worked in storyline. It made the Undertaker look dominant, and it made sense because he legit. What shocked me was they let Mabel do a fucking leg drop. You literally let Mabel do the move that broke his face. Do you think Undertaker was laying there like, motherfucker, I swear to God, you're going to see the dark side of the Undertaker. You're going to see him real quick if you
fuck this shit up. Either that or he's like, please tell me this mask works. Yeah. Please tell me this mask
works. Which it does, you know, Blaze asked that, and it does look kind of, you know, they made it try to kind of look like the Phantom of the Opera, but it is actually a legit, you know, surgical protective mask. And I might have brought this up on a different episode, or maybe it was just us talking, but one of the designs, because they were trying to figure out what to make the Undertaker's mask look like when he got injured, and one of the designs actually becomes the Mankind mask. So the Mankind mask was originally a sketch for Undertaker's protective
gear. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I love Mankind.
Oh, yeah. And it wouldn't and have... The mask works. That mask really wouldn't have protected him that much.
I don't think
so. It would have looked fine, but it wouldn't have... You can tell this is a solid mask. I noticed in his hair that it actually went all the way around his head and tied and everything. So it's, you know, pretty intense. But good match. Made the Undertaker look like exactly what he is. Everybody ran. I enjoyed it. It wasn't over the top, but I still enjoyed it. I'm going to give this 3.5 Phantom of the Operas.
I'm going to give this 3.5 Hail Mary chokeslams.
That was a Hail Mary chokeslam. That might have been my favorite move of the match. All the tombstones look good. And by the way,
tombstones kids... Tombstones look fine, but have you ever... Like, no, I'm trying to think of a time that I've ever seen...
Not one like that.
Undertaker grabs someone from outside the ring and then chokeslam them
almost make it in look the good, middle. He didn't fumble them or nothing either.
No, it looked good.
You know, so
it was real cool.
And for all you kids that want to get into the business, if you would like to use a pile driver, watch Jerry the King Lawler fucking do pile drivers because he nailed. Pile drivers are fucking amazing. He went to do another one, and I thought, man, if he hits Savio with another one, he's gonna die.
He's gonna die.
All right, well, let's move on to our next match. This has to be the wild card, I believe.
Okay.
Let's check it out. All right, so before the next match, we get, they talk about how the British Bulldog is the number one contender at the next pay-per-view, which is In Your House, because at the last In Your House, Bret Hart interfered in the Diesel and Bulldog Championship match. So, Bulldog's the new number one contender. And after they talk about that, we get Todd Pettengill in the back talking to the wild card team of Sid, Bulldog, Shawn Michaels, and Ahmed Johnson. And for some reason, Shawn decided to call Ahmed his back door.
Yes, he did. Shawn's a sexy boy for all men and women.
Wonder where Gold Dust is. So this was the wild card match. I think this is the only time this ever happened. This was Bill Watts' idea. Like I mentioned, the other team in this match was Oko Yono was in this match. Owen, Yoko, Zuna, Dean Douglas, and Razor Ramon. And just those few spots, like I get the concept, so you got heels and faces on both sides, and there were times the match was out of fucking control.
Razor literally punches Dean.
Yeah, like right early on in the match, the first elimination is Razor punching Dean, his own partner, and he gets pinned. You know, Sid came out at one point after he was eliminated with the 1-2-3 kids so they could distract Razor. Like, it was good. I like the way it was put together. I like the fact that there were... It was chaos at several points. Yeah, the Bulldog, at the very end, Bulldog broke up what was going to be the match-winning pin. Like... Shawn Michaels accidentally super kicked, accidentally, I guess maybe it was an accident, but he super kicked, Sid, right?
Yeah, he super kicked Sid, and then...
He gave the old Shawn trick, like, whatever, and he walks back out of the ring.
He's like, I'm cool with this.
Yeah, and then there's this spot where Ahmed hit a move, and he thought he'd go in the corner and celebrate, you know, get up there and showboat, so Razor went for the Razor's Edge, and I literally saw... The tag, the blind tag, while Ahmed was up there.
Yeah.
Bulldog tagged him, probably saw it too. He gets in the ring, and then you hear Vince go, get him out of there, he doesn't belong in there. Wait, was there a tag?
Yes, if you were watching.
Vince McMahon was so lost on commentary sometimes, but you gotta remember, he's running the show too, we just didn't know it. So he's busy, you know, trying to produce and... Yeah, there was a tag, Vince. That name is legal, okay? Jeez. Kind of a long match, but it had a lot of great stars in it. I'm always about me seeing me some Owen Hart and some Yoko and some Shawn. Like, everybody that we normally don't get to see, or it seems like we haven't seen in a while because of In Your House, I guess. I love the fact, though, that We talked about Sean getting his ass kicked, and in this one, Vince said Sean recently got beat up by 9 guys. He didn't even say Marine. It's now 9 guys jump Sean in Manhattan or some shit.
Vince is like Sean's like best friend that's lying for his friend. So it's like, I was like, what? You thought you heard 3 Marines? No. There was like part of an army. Okay.
There was like 15 guys dudes. There.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marty's in the
you think Sean would get his ass kicked by 3 Marines? That's fine.
Not even 1 Marine.
It was like 9. Like 9 Marines.
75 guys there, and they were like 10 feet tall each. Like, it was horrible.
It was literally all of a platoon.
And they all looked like giant Gonzalez.
Yeah, right. No.
20 feet tall. He said no. No.
Why, out of all tall big men, you think of giant just fucking Gonzalez? Just because he's really tall. That is, I mean, sure.
Sure.
So is Andre. So is literally most of these wrestlers.
Please don't bring up Gonzalez again. But that was the most amazing wrestling gear ever.
Sorry, I threw up a little bit in my mouth there. I
threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Johnny Gonzalez hair? Was stupid. Why did we have stupid. To
put the fur on there? I don't know.
I don't know. It was weird see, as Vince fuck. Vince made
him
work.
He could never wrestle, but WCW used him right, you know what I mean, to make him look like an attraction, and they didn't expose him.
Well,
they knew he couldn't wrestle.
Vince
too.
Put him in gear that made him unattractive.
Right, like, Elegante got in the ring with Ric Flair once, even. But it looked like a good match because they let him do what he can do. He's big. You just fucking hit the guy like he's a fly. You know, you don't right. try to actually wrestle him. God. But, yeah, overall, entertaining match. I liked the few times it broke down. I didn't even mind. They're still building the Kid and Razor thing, so Kid caused a distraction to get Razor eliminated. At the end, they had the pin, and fucking Bulldog breaks up his own team's pin. So then Sean and Ahmed double-teamed him and whooped his ass. Sean hit sweet chin music, and Ahmed felt like he had to showboat and do a little splash before he did Yoko. Like, you didn't need to do that, but that's fine, whatever. It was kind of funny like because... that
splash really did anything?
Yeah, like, he was already out.
No, I would give you this. A super kick, even to a big guy, I mean, your face isn't... No matter how fat you are, how big you are...
Sweet chin music's putting
that, you to sleep. Yeah. A kick to the face is still going to knock you down.
Yeah. And I loved it when Ahmed went to nail the splash. He was like a big fucking kid. Like, he got in there. He was like, oh! You know, I don't know. It cracked me up for some reason. It didn't show as much in this match, but we're going to see that Ahmed wasn't around long, and I think we'll see why, because he wasn't exactly the best. He had a good look.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, but wait till we have to see him, you know, wrestle like singles matches and you know, whatever. He's around for a little bit. He even hit his powerbomb, which was called the Pearl River Plunge.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I remember Ahmed a little bit, actually.
Yeah, he was around for a minute, and I believe he wins the Intercontinental title at some point. Yeah, whatever. His music sounds like an anvil hitting metal. Ding, boom, ding, whatever. I don't know. Overall entertaining. I want to give this 3.5. You're not my partner.
You're not my partner?
It's you, right? Not you. Who's my partner? I don't know.
I'm going to give this 4 whatever super kicks.
4 whatever super kicks.
Kick shrugs.
Yeah, it was though. They should have probably done this again. I don't know. It had great wrestling. It was wrestling. Kind of fun. It was just fun. Like, it didn't get too, the shenanigans weren't too over the top. It was just those few spots like, I don't want to fight. Like when Bulldog and Owen get in the ring and they're like, oh no, these two don't want to fight each other. And right away I'm like, one of them could tag out. You act like they literally have to fight each other. They're not the last two.
It was a lot of fun. It was fun. But there was times where I forgot who was on what side because it got a little crazy. It
got a little confusing. And then Jim Cornette didn't help things out either. But good match. And we are getting ready to head to the main event. And it's Diesel and Brett for the title.
Oh wow, we got like 40 minutes left.
That's a long match.
It is a long
match. Long matches has not had a history.
Oh, okay. Wow. Oh, main event.
Find out. All right. So before our main event, we get Todd Pettengill with Mr. Clinton again. But this time he's got a little somebody on his lap. He's got a little Sonny with him. I mean, I would like to be the president at that point. He said something about, I think you'd do well in several positions in the office.
I agree.
I mean, hey.
I don't disagree with that.
Stop by the Oval Office and let's have a talk. And see, yeah, that. Yeah. I wouldn't argue that. So, our main event is Diesel and Bret Hart for the title in a no DQ match. This is the third match they've had within this year. And it's the squash mash, as we call it back in the day. And man, it was hard hitting, like right off the rip. First of all, Diesel gets in the ring and fucking takes the turnbuckle off in the corner, like, fuck this bad. So Bret's like, I can do that too. But dude, right away, like, Diesel dominated early. But it was definitely hard hitting. It was good storytelling, like always. Bret started working on the leg at a later point in the match and even tied Diesel up to with a fucking mic cable. Like, it was funny that I think Bret did some more heelish shit. They were both faces. Bret did a little more heelish stuff. It's a no DQ match. But the fans were all behind Bret. Like, you could see.
Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, at first when they came out, sure, they cheered both. But the fans were definitely behind Bret. There was a spot where Diesel went to get a chair. I guess I bought it back then. But he goes and gets a chair, and it's a souvenir chair, and he hits Bret with the fucking cushion inside. Like, come on. And bless you for selling it, Bret. But I'm not saying it didn't hurt at all, but come on, it was the cushions.
Right.
And it was a souvenir chair, so you should find Diesel anyway.
It's the type of chair that we used when we were kids, because we didn't actually want to hurt each other, and we didn't know how to do it properly.
How to do it properly.
So we grabbed the cushion chair just for looks.
Yeah, could you imagine the whole key to chair shots is you have to nail them right.
Right.
So you don't kill an individual or, you know, bust them wide open.
Of course. So.
But, yeah, overall, this was a very good match, very good storytelling. Bret was up on the apron. Diesel fucking pushed him off, and Bret went through the Spanish announce table, baby. Which we know becomes a cliche. Listen, we had to record later tonight. We're both getting a little a cliche. But this is the first time that the Spanish announce table was broken.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But we know later on, it's like always the fucking dude. It's like, oh shit, there's a Spanish announce table. Someone's going through that shit.
Right.
But a little history for you. Would you like to know who the first person was that went through a table in the WWE? It was in 1988, and Harley Race was put through a table. That was the first, I guess, you know, going through a table.
Huh.
WWE. And then actually, you were said you were surprised about him having a face versus a face, but... Part of this is, and now to me, this wasn't really that violent. You know, it was a hard-hitting match, and it was an ODQ. But again, we're after the steroid trial. You got all these parent groups that are like, oh, we can't have violence. Well, first of all, the fucking sponsor's Karate Fighters. There's enough of that violence on TV, but I'm going to buy my kids some Karate Fighters.
Oh, wait. Boomer.
What?
Karate is about discipline.
Discipline.
And... defense. Yeah. Not violence.
Okay. With Karate Fighters, though.
Unless you watched...
What I watched?
Cobra Kai. And Cobra there's Kai. A lot of violence with those karates.
A lot of karate violence. You got to wax on and wax off. That's where it's pretty great. Yeah, I don't want to say I haven't watched it, but I haven't. Don't judge me.
I just watched it. I watched it shortly after it finally got on Netflix.
I mean, everybody talks good about it. I just haven't.
It's fantastic.
I got so much stuff on my list. I watched the little clip when they had, because they sung Judas on there in the one scene.
I know. I made the TikTok.
You made the TikTok.
I made the TikTok.
I saw the TikTok.
I watched that season, and I was like, that's Judas. Can you believe it? TikTok Judas. This shit. But yeah, it really is. It's weird because I was never a big Karate Kid fan as a kid.
Right.
You know, that wasn't something I was super into, but the Cobra Kai show?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
It's fantastic. Sure. It's great.
This was way better than fucking Mabel and Diesel.
Low bar.
I know it is, right? But again, it's the example of why, I don't know why Vince... Even from a fan's perspective, I was more excited about this match. Just because your champ's a giant doesn't mean you have to put him against a giant.
No.
Give us the David and Goliath story. For fuck's sake, we want people that can put on a match. And Nash is a good wrestler, but, you know, you put him in there with the wrong people, it's going to be ugly. You know?
Well.
I liked it. I liked the fact that Bret knew this was his, quote-unquote, last shot. No rules. I got to do what I got to do to fucking take this guy down. And the ending, I didn't even hate the ending because I liked
it. I have mixed feelings.
But the way that they played it out, because Brett gets sent through the table, and there for a minute Diesel hesitates, and I think it was Mr. Perfect that said, I think he had a moment of sympathy. No, I read Diesel's lips. He was like, what the fuck do I got to do? That's it. It wasn't a moment of sympathy. It was like, what do I have to do? That was the moment to put this guy down. He was looking at him like, really? How are you fucking moving? And he rolled him back in the ring, and he just took way too long to get back in that ring. Like, way too long. He went for a jackknife, and Brett just fucking rolled him up out of nowhere.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Like I said, I have mixed feeling because story-wise, it makes sense.
Yes.
It makes sense, and it also this told the story of, you know, he gets this easy, cheap win with a roll-up.
After getting his ass kind of kicked.
After getting his ass kicked, and... This is, it's kind of what turns Diesel full heel.
Oh, yeah, because after it's over.
Because he just starts beating the shit out of Diesel referees snaps and fucking, stuff.
Yeah, just, he's full
but, heel. So I guess on a story aspect, but this is your main event.
It is.
This is a championship match, and it turns hands.
It was on kind of the old possum thing, though. Flip. Like, it's the good old classic lesson of don't take too much time. Like, you thought you had the deal sealed. And you're just strutting back in there. The couple spots in the match that cracked me up the most though were when the ref tried to stop any fucking thing. Like, why? It's a no DQ match.
Right.
It's like Brett had the fucking leg lock and Diesel's grabbing the ropes and.
Brett's
like, and? So, what the fuck? So, and? And Vince is like, the ref's going to break that up. It's a no DQ match.
Exactly.
You can't break it up. There were a few other spots where he's like, don't do that. Brett fucking went to dive on Diesel on the outside, and Diesel just moved. Fucking slapped the floor. Like, so I get your point of it being the main event. I just think because of the buildup and the story like I said, they told,
mixed that it feelings made sense. Because story wise it worked, but damn, that kind of
and if it
kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth.
And I think part of it too was not knowing we know now Diesel's going to be gone soon, but you still want Diesel to be strong. And I think in a way, if Brett just worked the leg the whole match, which he did, and then he won with a sharpshooter, Diesel wouldn't have a reason to have snapped. You know what I mean? I think it was just
that's why I said.
You get it. Story-wise, yeah, it's the main event.
It worked.
But, yeah. And it
especially if you want him to turn heel.
And it kept him looking strong.
And it kept him looking strong.
And he felt like a big dumbass because...
Yeah, because he was being a big dumbass.
Because he tried to pick Brett up once for the jackknife and he fell back down. So then he took a few more minutes and then grabbed him up and then just out of nowhere rolled him up. So it was good storytelling. We all know that in reality, Diesel could have kicked out of that shit. But just submit, you know, get rid of the reality. And, you know, I'm going to give this 4 broken Spanish announce tables. And I'll tell you that it would have been, if the ending would have been different, it might have been higher than a 4. It makes sense for the story, but I do agree that being the main event, you know, we could add a little bit of better, so.
Right.
So, yeah, 4 Spanish announce tables.
I'm going to go with 3.5. Why are you trying to break us up, bro?
Why are you trying to break us up? Really, like, Earl, dude, if it's an ODQ match, come on, man. They can do what the fuck they want. He didn't say shit about him taking pads off turnbuckles, but by God, he's holding the ropes. Break that shit.
Bret Hart's looking at that ref like, just let it happen. Just let it happen.
In Canada, we don't even have refs, eh? They just fight till someone fucking dies. I don't know. I don't know what they do up there. I forgot to see, I didn't talk to my Canadian friend. We're back on Canada, and I still haven't talked to my Canadian source to ask her. She wouldn't want to talk to me anyway. I'd drive her crazy.
Well, what you got to do is, when you try to talk to her, you know, bring a peace offering of some maple syrup.
Do you have a loonie or a toonie? If I was like, so can I ask you some things about Canada? She'd probably be like, don't even fucking do it. Because, you know, I asked the stupid questions before, like, what do you guys call maple syrup in Canada? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, is it just syrup? what are the moose like? I asked that one day. And she's like, what the fuck do you mean? What are the moose like? They're like big. What do you mean? You know, but she knows I'm special. It's fine. Anyway,
just give her a loony or a toony.
A loony or a toony. We're tiny. We're toony. We're all a loony. I don't know why I went off on that, but you brought up the Looney Tunes, so I thought I had to sing it.
I was talking about the Canadian coins for dollar and $2.
I knew you were, but Looney, you said Looney Tunes, and I went straight to Tiny Toons Adventures. Is where it took me.
I mean, that's fair.
Is that Canadian? It might be.
It was made by Steven Spielberg.
Well, he might be a hidden Canadian. He's not Canadian.
I feel like
he's not at all.
I mean,
we do know one thing. We have no audience in Canada anymore. We know that. Like, if we even had one before, they're not there anymore.
Our audience is much like South Park's audience with Canada. Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
I mean, you know. Oh, boy. We're going to be in a lot of trouble.
You think how pissed they have to be about the fact that Blame Canada actually won an award?
I mean, you know. I think they'd love it, to be honest. There's another question.
They probably do.
What do you think about South Park? I mean, come on.
If I was Canadian, I would probably.
One of the greatest love stories ever is Satan and Saddam Hussein. You cannot, you know.
Come on, gay! Come on, Satan!
Damn it, Satan!
Satan, come here, Satan!
I believe we're getting on a Satan wasn't in this pay per view, but a few years down the road, do you know who we do get to see on pay per view?
Satan is always in wrestling.
But do you know who actually had a WWF match?
Who's that?
God.
Fuck.
That's right, because we will get to a pay per view where Vince and Shane McMahon take on Shawn Michaels and God. Can't wait for that. That's a real thing, folks. You got to stick around. I can't remember what pay-per-view hat that is, but that's a real thing. That's going to happen. It was a one and done. He didn't sign a contract. No. He only participated in the one match.
It's time for me to come down to Earth to wrestle.
So another podcast. Come down to Earth to wrestle.
Speaking of South Park again.
So many South... Maybe South Park knows wrestling better than we do.
It reminds me of the South Park episode where Satan faces Jesus.
Yes.
Satan faces Jesus and then Satan bets on Jesus and wins a bunch of money and he throws the match.
Dude, the shit was on one of the other podcasts I listened to and I was listening to some of the promos. This is going to be one of those we're going to be like, they shouldn't have done this. Like, not that it didn't only not age well, it shouldn't have happened at all. And the most shocking thing is this was after Shawn became. But anyway, that's a whole other pay-per-view, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Right.
Shawn Michaels and God versus the McMahons.
Oh my gosh. I cannot believe that's the thing.
What, you're actually shocked that Vince McMahon wanted God to put him over?
You know, this is one of those...
I want you to wrestle, but you gotta put me over.
This is one of those times where I would understand... If Jim Cornette
shit on something like
had an issue, like God in wrestling
does not
belong. It does not belong.
Oh, he gets an entrance and everything. I can't wait to get.
Oh my gosh!
Anyway, I think we got some matches to pick.
Yes.
Yes, he said do. Maybe.
Favorite match of the night.
All right, so favorite match of the night. I thought about it for a little bit, but I am going to go with the main event. I am going to go with Brett and Diesel, even despite that little quick roll-up in the end. It was good storytelling, a good match. We got to see a fucking table break. So, yeah, sign me up. I'm going to go with the main event.
I'm debating... The main event's decent. I'm kind of thinking the Wild Card Survivor Series match, to be honest with you.
Those were the two that I was, you know, debating between.
I had a lot more fun with the Wild Card Survivor Series match.
It was fun. It was. It's just the main event was a little bit. I just liked some of the hard shots, you know. Big Diesel fan, so. But I can't argue that either. I almost picked the Wild Card match.
I will say, we didn't mention it, but I will say that Brett doing submission moves is not as cringy as a lot of people seem to be doing these.
One thing Brett can do is put a submission on your ass.
Yeah, and he makes it look good.
You believe it.
And you believe that he's putting pressure.
Oh, yeah, and Diesel knows how to sell.
I
have a funny feeling worst match of the night. We might agree on it.
I'm like 100% positive we're going to agree on it. Because it's literally possibly the worst match I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
worst match of the night.
Geez, let's see. Worst match of the night. The fucking women's match. That wasn't even a match.
Yeah.
No wonder Alonda really left and threw the fucking title in the garbage.
Yeah, the women's match, absolutely worst. Like, this match, you should have cut it. You should have gotten rid of it.
If you wanted the women on there, you could have just had Alondra in a rematch with fucking Bertha or something. Like, why even?
Or don't fucking do it, because Alondra wasn't the best part of that match.
Yeah.
No, Alondra wasn't.
Alondra, to that whole match, Alondra acted like she didn't want to be in that fucking thing. And I don't blame her.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what to do. It was literally one of the worst matches I've seen in my entire life.
You got to go back and watch this to understand what we're saying. It wasn't boring. It was fucking horrible.
It was
the timing
bad.
Was it, bad. The
everybody,
it was shit.
It was like we were watching a different show.
I spent maybe a week in wrestling school and could put on a better match than that.
Same. And I was,
we could just
I
go right now at our age and our unhealthy selves still have better.
I have a heart condition I could do better.
We could still
than
do a better
shit.
Fucking match than that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Now, it might be a lot of just submission moves because I can't.
By God, I'll sell the shit out of there.
Exactly. I can sell the shit out of those submission moves.
Yeah, I would have rather watched a 15 minute fucking camel clutch by Sid than watch that match. That's how bad it was. We all know how good Sid is at submissions.
Bad. Yeah, he's terrible at those submissions. No, it was like...
Jesus. Made me want to throw up.
Like, who trained you?
Well, the problem is when he can't speak, I guess. I don't know, Hakushi still kicks ass and can't speak English. These bitches were just like, I don't even know what's happening.
Well, in fairness, we don't know if that's the case. That just seems to be the logical problem.
It's got to be the, you know, I don't
well,
know.
Well, it's... But. That's the nice way to put the reason, is the language barrier. But it could just be that these women just suck at wrestling.
Just could be.
We're giving them the benefit of the doubt by thinking it might be a language barrier situation, but it was bad.
It was bad.
I don't think I've ever seen a match worse than that.
Yeah, it was that bad.
I'd rather watch Undertaker versus Undertaker again.
Which was bad.
Really bad.
All right. Well, you know, at least we got through it and we'll have to watch it again.
Hooray.
Let's rank some Survivor Series.
Survivor Series rankings.
All right, so here we go. Ranking the Survivor Series. I'm going to start with my favorite and go to my least favorite. So at number one, I got 6. At number two, I got 8. 3, I have 7. 4 is 4. I put this one at 5. And then at number 6, I have 5. 7, I have 3. 8, I have 2. And the worst one is still the first one.
See, I had a tough one, because this has literally one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
It does.
And really, there wasn't a lot of great, so I think I'm going to go with first is 4, 2, 3, 3, 6, 5 for 4, 2 for 5, 8 for 6, and I think I'm going to put this in 7th place out of 9. It was bad. I'm sorry, but...
I'm sorry, he said.
When you have literally one of the worst things I've ever seen, it's going to be...
It does affect it.
It's going
to,
yeah.
For me, the opening match, I liked it. It was exciting. I liked to see the Undertaker dominate, so, you know, it just...
Well, I enjoyed the wild card match, but...
Wild card match, yeah.
It wasn't like it was over-the-top great.
No, that's true. Probably the best, and it wasn't really over-the-top, but one of the best things probably of the night was the Taker thing, just because it made him look like he was so, you know, he was the Taker.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. I forgot,
I thought,
yeah,
I thought it was
kind of
cool how
decent.
He just came in and he fucking, you know... cleared house.
So we got that great Hail Mary choke slam. That was definitely worth watching too.
Yes, it was. So, all right. Well, good shit. Good shit. Next week, we have another In Your House. In Your House 5.
Yep. Yeah,
five. And the last pay-per-view of 1995, which means...
And we're going into 96, where I know we get Stone Cold. I know in 96 we get The Rock.
Yeah.
I think we get Mankind.
We do. Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
I'm not quite Kane yet, check but
we,
that out.
We get Isaac Kingdom become Diesel. After Diesel's gone.
Should be so interesting.
That's going to be... He's a lot bigger, too, than he starts swelling up. But technically, we saw Undertaker Kane for a minute tonight.
We did? Just pre. Sort of.
Pre. Yeah. All right. Well, do you have anything else? I think we're good. We are good. So. Yeah,
plug the pluggables.
See? It's late, folks, and I almost forgot. Plug those pluggables.
You can find me on Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. You can find me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro. You can check out our channel.
The new YouTube channel.
The new Boomer and Blaze pay-per-view rewatch. Well, it's just a watch, but
yeah.
Review channel. And you know what? You know what you could do?
What could you do?
You know what would be great?
Let's hear it.
We'd love it. If you listen to this on that Apple iTunes, you should go on there.
Go on there and...
Rate, review, give us 5 stars.
Because
you know, we like Booker T.
Five stars. Yeah, rank us, man. Wherever you listen to your podcast, give us those 5 stars. You can find the show on Facebook, of course, on that great Facebook page, The Boomer and Blaze Show. You can also find us on Instagram and the Twitters at Boomer_Blaze. And now on the TikToks, because I caught up with the modern times, at Boomer and Blaze Show.
Yeah, now that TikTok is probably dead.
TikTok's dead now. And for you old school people, we also have the email, BoomerandBlazeShow@gmail.com. So, that's our pluggables, that's our rankings, that's our show for this week. Next week, In Your House 5, and a great debate about Thanksgiving. Until then, this has been the Boomer and Blaze Show. I am Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night.